Thank you, Nancy and Lila. I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, reading from the 11th chapter. Jesus is speaking, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, then, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yea, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you that you've called us together on this Sabbath day to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, oh God, that you would be present with us, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds and the meditation of our hearts, but especially, oh God, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O God, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Over this last week, I had the opportunity to lead a study group for our conference Mission U event that was held at Bucknell. And the study was based on God's covenants with God's people throughout the ages, how God's intention from the beginning of time was to be in relationship with the people he had created. Those covenants that were begun at creation and then fulfilled in Christ remind us over and over of God's grace. Truly, God is the covenant maker. He initiates promises with us. But he's also the covenant keeper who never leaves us alone, never leaves us without grace and without promise. And the covenant equipper who gives us everything we need to stay in love with God and to stay in community, to stay in love with one another. God truly keeps his promises. God keeps his covenants with God's people. Even when God's children neglect the covenants, when they turn to idols, when they think God has abandoned them, when they completely reject God's promises, even then, even though that mourns God and breaks his heart, God remains faithful. God truly is one who keeps his promises. The study that I led was based on a book entitled Living as a Covenant Community. And in that book, the author, Evie McDonald, goes through the major covenants of the Old Testament that are finally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like us to think a little bit about those covenants and to think about whether we have lived into those covenants or if we have abandoned them. Of course, the first covenant comes at creation. When God creates men and women, God created Adam and Eve, wanting to create them in God's own image, that we would carry the very image of God. Now, you know what happens. Those Adam and Eve live in the Garden of Eden. They have everything they want, everything they need. There is no worries, there is no work, there is no pain, there is no sorrow. They can just live a life of luxury, living in paradise. But what happens? What happens? A sneaky little snake comes in and says to them, "You know, God said you could have everything, but there was one thing, wasn't there? Wasn't there one thing God said you couldn't have? Didn't God say you couldn't eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Because God doesn't want you to be like him. So why don't you try it? Take a bite. See how it is." Really, what that serpent is tempting Adam and Eve to do is to be other than what God has created them to be, and to always want more than God has given them. And so you know the story. They eat the apple, and there's consequences to disobeying God. The consequences are is that they are forever out of the garden. God says that they will need to toil, they will need to work. Childbirth will be unpleasant, and the serpent will always eat dust. They were told to be fruitful and to multiply. They were given everything by God's grace. And the covenant was that God would care for them. God would care for them. Even though God was disappointed in their disobedience, he sacrifices an animal and takes the skin of that animal so that he can cover their nakedness. God always cares for God's people. God always offers grace. But we know that the story doesn't end there. It doesn't end with Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden. Things really run amok a little while later. And God is even upset that he has created human beings at all. And so along comes Noah. Noah, the only righteous person that God can find. And God tells Noah that there'll be a great flood and he's to build an ark and to take the animals and his family on that ark. And Noah responds. Noah is obedient. And all those things come to pass. There is a great flood. God has destroyed everything except the animals on the ark and Noah's family. But eventually they are on dry ground. And then we hear God's covenant promise to Noah. Be fruitful and multiply. The same thing that God said to Adam and Eve, he says to Noah, start over. Start over. I wasn't happy with the way things were going, but start over. This is a new chance. And God says in his covenant promise, I will never, ever destroy the world again by a flood. And the sign of that covenant we know is the rainbow. God gave humanity a chance to start over, a chance to be obedient, a chance to reject evil. God was faithful, but not the people of Israel. So the foundation to our covenant promises of God are those promises of creation, that God gives us everything that we need, and that God, in his gracious care of us, provides for us. And all God asks in return is that we care for the gifts of creation. Have we been faithful to that covenant? In the study, the next covenant that was looked at was the covenant with Abram. Abram was asked to leave his homeland with his wife Sarai, and God's covenant promise to Abraham was that he would be the father of many offsprings, more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the beach, and he would have land, and he would be blessed. And Abram and Sarai, they leave their home, and they travel into a new land, and the promise doesn't happen right away. The promise isn't fulfilled right away. And we see that Abraham even lies to save his own skin. He takes things into his own hands, assuming that God's plan is not going to come to fruition. Sarah gives Hagar to Abram, and then we have Ishmael, the first son of Abram. And then later we have Isaac. But the truth of that story is that Abram never sees the covenant fulfilled. He never sees descendants as numerous as the stars or as the sand. He never really sees the promise of land, and he may not even realize that God has blessed him. But God, the covenant maker, is the covenant keeper. And through the generations, the descendants of Abraham are numerous, more than the stars and more than the sand. And finally, they will be a nation. They will be a community. God does keep his promises. Jump ahead several centuries, and the people of Israel find themselves as captives in Egypt. They are numerous. There's a famine. They all end up in Egypt. And after a new Pharaoh comes to power, they don't know about Abram's children. And the children of Israel have become slaves. They're oppressed. And then Moses comes into our picture. Moses is the one who will be the next covenant bearer for God. He will bring God's word to God's people. You know that's a long story about Moses, and you know many of the parts. You know how he was a baby found in the bulrushes by Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up in Pharaoh's courts. He murders an Egyptian overseer, and then because of that, he flees to the land of Midian, where he becomes a shepherd. He becomes a shepherd, and then God confronts him with a burning bush. And God says, I have a different plan for you, Moses. It's not to watch sheep out here in the desert. It's to go back to Egypt. It's to go back to confront Pharaoh. It's to go back and to have bring freedom to the Israelites. We know there's 10 plagues. It's a long, long time. But finally, the children of Israel are out wandering in the desert. They are free at last. But they're still not a community that's faithful to God. They still, at times, complain and grumble and long to go back to Egypt. And so the next covenant that God makes with God's people is a covenant of law and guidance. Moses receives the Ten Commandments and other laws to help guide the people of Israel, to help them know right from wrong, to help them know how to live together, to remind them that their first obligation is to love God and then to love their neighbor. The people of God are asked to obey those laws. And if they obey those laws, God promises that they will be blessed. One of the things in this study that I had not remembered from my seminary days was that in Deuteronomy 28, there's about 7 verses of blessing. And then there's 53 verses of curses if you don't obey. 53 verses of curses if you break the commandments and the law of God. God was serious about this covenant and serious about us being a part of it and living by his law and by his guidance. Are we faithful to that covenant? Do we continue to strive to live by the laws that God gave the people of Israel? Are we willing to love God and love neighbor above all else? Are we faithful to that covenant? The last two covenants are about how God intends for us to live not only in community, but to live trusting God. The covenant with David is that there will be someone who will always be king over Israel, someone in the line of David. There'll be an eternal rule. David wanted to build a temple for God, and the covenant is not that he would be allowed to build a temple, but that he would build a great house. And that house would be descendants who would rule over Israel forever. Rule over Israel forever. That was the covenant promise of God. And so we see in this line of kings, there's David and then his son Solomon, who does build the temple. And then after that, there are a line of kings that are not righteous, not faithful to God, who follow after idols. And the children of Israel finally are overrun by the Babylonians and taken into exile. Can you imagine those people carted off from their homeland to a new land to begin over? You have to wonder if they thought that God had truly abandoned them this time. Perhaps God was not the covenant keeper that he had been in the past. Perhaps now God really had written off the people of Israel. And that's when you hear the promise from Jeremiah that Shirley read this morning, the promise of a new covenant that would be written on the hearts of people, not on stone tablets, but written on the hearts. It would be a new covenant that would fulfill all the covenants. And we know that these words of the Lord to Jeremiah, to the people of Israel, were words to comfort them, to assure them, to encourage them, and allow them to start over. But we also see in these words from Jeremiah the promise that God will fulfill his promise, keep his promise, and the new covenant comes in Christ. We see from creation all through the Old Testament up until Jesus that God, the covenant maker, has been the covenant keeper and the covenant equipper. All God wants to do is to stay in relationship with his people, and over again, we have disappointed God, and we have forgotten our promises. But God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus Christ so that we, whoever believes, would have the promise of life, abundant life and eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Jesus is the fulfillment of all those covenant promises. He says that we are to live loving God and loving neighbor. He comes and says that he's not to abolish the laws, but he's come to fulfill the laws. He offers us grace and care and security. He gives his very life for our redemption. He sheds our blood. He sheds his blood to seal that covenant of love. And he reminds us every time we have communion that we are partaking in this new covenant, the new covenant that's been sealed in his blood. God has been faithful from creation on. He has been faithful to his covenant and his promise. And over and over and over again, we forget that. We neglect that. We turn to idols. We forget that God just longs to love us. God wants us to be in relationship with him, keeping that covenant promise from creation through today, a reminder of God's amazing grace and his love for every one of us. We forget that when God made covenants, he expected us to be partners in that, partners who would take their place living out at the other half of that covenant promise. There's a wonderful little story that perhaps you've heard before, and it's entitled Partners, and I'd like to end with this today. It comes from a book entitled, Does God Have a Big Toe? And it's written by Rabbi Mark Gelman. And so it's a story about creation, but it's a story about us. And it's a story about keeping our promises. Before there was anything, there was God, a few angels, and a huge swirling glob of rocks and water with no place to go. And the angels asked God, why don't you clean up this mess? So God collected rocks from the huge swirling glob and put them together in clumps and said, some of these clumps of rocks will be planets, and some will be stars, and some of these rocks will be just rocks. Then God collected water from the huge swirling glob and put it together in pools of water and said, some of these pools of water will be oceans, and some will become clouds, and some of this water will be just water. Then the angel said, well, God, it's much neater now, but is it finished? And God answered, nope. On some of the rocks, God placed growing things and creeping things and things that only God knows what they are. And when God had done all this, the angels asked God again, is the world finished now? And God answered, nope. God made a man and a woman from some of the water and dust and said to them, I'm tired now. Please finish up the world for me. Really, it's almost done. But the man and the woman said, we can't finish the world alone. You have the plans, and we are too little. You are big enough, God answered them. But I agree to this. If you keep trying to finish the world, I will be your partner. The man and the woman asked, what's a partner? And God answered, a partner is someone you work with on a big thing that neither of you can do alone. If you have a partner, it means that you can never give up because your partner is depending on you. On the days you think I am not doing enough, and on the days that I think you're not doing enough, even on those days, we are still partners, and we must never stop trying to finish the world. That's the deal. And they all agreed to that deal. Then the angels asked God, is the world finished yet? And God answered, I don't know. Go ask my partners. Go ask my partners. We are called to be in a covenant relationship with God, living by his law, living through with his grace. God is faithful to his covenant, to his promises. Are we? Amen.